I went and I found me a place to get in the Word, and I didn't want to wake my husband up. And I was taken back to in October. I was out in Knoxville, Tennessee. And the Lord, just, I was praying real early, and the Lord just dropped it in my spirit. And I began to pray and ask God what He would have me to minister. You know, what kind of theme to follow? What was He speaking to us for 2017? And the Lord, I just began to seek Him. And in November the 1st, the Lord spoke a word to me in prayer in early morning. And the Lord said this to me, new beginning. New beginning. And I was excited, and I was really excited. But the Lord took me back to when we got our first breakthrough with my husband, when his blood pressure came up. It was the first miracle that we experienced when he was in Baptist. And so we went back to the death room where my family, my children were, and we told them, and I mean, we started dancing. I started dancing, and then the kids, just like the whole room, started dancing, and we began to praise God. And in the middle of my dance, the Lord said to me, you need to settle down, because right here is where you can lose this battle. That wasn't what I really thought. He said, right here, you can praise me later. Your life is a praise to me, but you have got to stay with the strategy. And I stopped dancing and I said to them, I said, the Lord told me we'll lose this battle right here if we don't stay focused. We got to stay focused. Now, we do praise God, we do thank God, but we must stay focused. And so I began to settle myself down over this word, new beginning. And I started asking the Lord, God, what does this look like to you? What are you saying? Not what I think you're saying, not what anybody else will think you're saying. Because, you know, we all have our own idea of what a new beginning would be. And a new beginning is different to every one of us. What is God saying about a new beginning? And I got in the Word. I began to just pray. And the Lord led me. He just reminded me of our first really big new beginning. And, of course, it's in Genesis. Oh, this was the napkin that I had in my Bible. So that's what I put my notes on. But the Lord began to, He took me to Genesis chapter 1. And, you know, let's just go there. Chapter 1. And the Bible says, in the beginning, everything was in a mess. Everything was in a mess. I mean, everything was chaotic. It was without form and it was void. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, light be. And light was. King James says, let there be light. But in the original, it says, light be, and light was. And when light was, everything came into order. And that's the first thing God always does with His Word. He sets things in order and brings enlightenment. And so, you know, no matter where you are, no matter how chaotic your circumstances, no matter how chaotic your condition, no matter how dark it looks, you know, God has a new beginning for you. And every new beginning brings further enlightenment. And every new beginning brings order. And then throughout the Word, of course, there is no way, because I just started going through the Word and looking at how, you know, the new beginnings got started. You know, we remember that the Garden of Eden, we remember how that was. And then, you know, that serpent came and began to, and Eve got in a debate with the serpent. And you know what? What happens is you're always going to lose. If you ever allow allow yourself to get into a debate with the enemy. Don't debate the enemy. Never debate. Never get in think about it. Eve. I mean, the first woman created. Listen, I'm telling you, Eve. Look at the condition of how they got to live and the way that it was. You wouldn't think that there would be anything that could tear that up. But look, when she got into a debate with the devil. Because, you know, the enemy's always going to come and try to reason with you that what you believe, that's not it. That's not right. That's not so. And then if you ever allow yourself to come off of your perch of what you absolutely know to be truth, the Word of God, I promise you, you will surely lose. You will surely fall. But you know, God is so faithful just one new beginning after another. But I begin to notice it was always because man had messed up. It was always because man had messed up, and that gave a new beginning to what they were used to, but that was a bad new beginning. And then God would come and he would redeem it. You know, Brother Noah, I'm telling you, God's always got someone. God always has someone. And so he made a covenant with Brother Noah. And then, you know, he made a covenant with Brother Abraham, and on it goes. But if you will notice, everything that was going on over here in the Old Testament was pointing and teaching us of when Jesus would come into the earth. Everything. And so we go over to Malachi, and we see that after Brother Malachi stopped prophesying, and there was 400 years. Oh my goodness. This just rocks me every time I think about it, until this morning, and God showed me something that I don't know why I'd never thought of. It's just clear as a nose on your face. But I would think about 400 years and the voice, no word from God. 400 years. It was just like I saw it so clearly. It's because God had said everything that needed to be said. Then they just had to wait for all of that to come to pass and to usher in the Lord Jesus, waiting for him to come through the womb of a woman into earth. So the time came and he got up. He got up out of heaven and he came down through the womb of a woman and was another new beginning. And think about it. When that new beginning came, think about the condition that people were in. I'm telling you, the religious system was all jacked up. The civil system was all jacked up. I mean, it was a mess. And here came the Savior. Nobody recognized him because who on earth thought he was going to come as a little bitty baby? Nobody thought, nobody caught it, nobody noticed it. And you know what? That's the way it is with us, with new beginnings. With new beginnings. A lot of times we do not realize the gravity of a new beginning. So when God is releasing a new beginning into our lives. And so this new beginning for 2017, God, what does it look like? What is it? Well, I really feel in my spirit, my part of this in the body of Christ is to teach us and to train us and to stir us and to challenge us that we begin to look at the way we read the Word and at the way we pray and the way we conduct ourselves in ministry, and every one of us are in some type of ministry, and all of us, that we conduct ourselves on the right side of Calvary. Because you see, we're on this side of Calvary. Not on that side of Calvary. And so in the Old Testament, everything was pointing toward the coming of Jesus and then all that transpired there. So I just want us to start going through the Word, because I want us to have plenty, plenty, plenty of time. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was teaching his disciples, and he said, when you give alms, when you pray, and moreover, when you fast. And he began to minister to them. Well, the thing about that is a roadmap preparing us and making us ready for this side of Calvary. Because in his ministry, if you'll notice in the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus, he was also always pointing them to Calvary and beyond. And he was teaching them of Calvary and beyond, although they didn't really get it. And sometimes I think we don't really get which side of Calvary we're on. Because I hear people praying, and I'm talking about anointed people of God. And you know, they're just begging and just, oh God, oh, 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 give us. And I'm thinking, I'm seeing God go, hey, hey, I did. I did. I did. It was at Calvary. And so I believe that's the word that the Lord wants us to look at today. And so I noticed that in Matthew, and really throughout the ministry of Jesus, he's teaching us to be givers. He is teaching us to pray. He is teaching us to fast. Now look here. Oh, if you'll think about it, all three of those things are teaching you and training you how to train your flesh. Because I'm going to tell you something. We are disciples of Christ. And something is wrong with a church that there is no discipline in our lives. Something's wrong. I'm telling you, something is wrong. If we want all the promises and all that, but we don't see the part where we are disciples, we are to be disciplined. And so all of these things discipline us. I'm telling you, when you give and you give that money that you worked for that represents your life, it takes a certain amount of disciplining your flesh to be able to do that. And the reason why we have to teach you, your faith has to be stronger than your flesh. And then prayer, when we pray, not if we pray, not if we give, not if we fast, but when we do it. Not that we wait for the pastor to call us to it. We just do it in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. We just do it in obedience to his word. And even those things are a discipline to our flesh, because I promise you this, when you sit down to pray, your flesh wants to jump up and do something else. I'm telling you, your flesh does not want to sit down and be still and pray. No, 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 no. Your flesh has always got something to do. And then the Bible says, Jesus said, moreover. The word moreover means over and above and more important than. Well, how could that be? Over and above and more important than praying and giving, fast. Well, you've got to look at it this way. Fasting is simply prayer without words. Because see, it's a prayer out of your spirit. When you get your flesh totally shut down, do you not see why the devil wants to make us flimsy and weak Christians and just, we can't do a real fast. The word fast means shut your mouth to food. And that means juice. Juice is food in another form. Mm-hmm. It don't matter if it's vegetable or fruit. That is food in another form. Now, I'm thrilled about a consecration. Excuse me. I'm thrilled about it. I love it. I tell you, consecration is powerful enough for Brother Daniel. It got the attention of heaven, and an angel was sent. So don't ever disregard the power of consecration. But, you know, Jesus did say, when you fast. Moreover, when you fast. And I believe all of that was pointing us toward Calvary and this side of Calvary, because, you know, the Lord is going to teach us some different things that maybe we haven't known before. You know, that's what was happening with those disciples. The Lord in his ministry was pulling them out of that religious system, that religious thinking, and moving them into relationship, because he knew what was coming. He knew. And he kept trying to tell them, and they just couldn't get it, just go over their heads, you know. And so he said, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. All of these are very familiar passages of Scripture. Verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, he gave them power and authority. He gave them authority, look here, over every devil. That's why, people want to tell you, but it's this. And you know, when you say, well, it don't matter. Oh, they're just offended. They say, well, it matters to me. I've had people say that. Listen, I'd say, listen, because I don't want all that junk put in my head, you know, because if you want me to believe God with you, I don't have to know all your nasty details. And so I say, that don't matter. Well, it matters to me. I'm thinking, well, that's why you hadn't got your prayer answered yet, because that's what's mattered to you. Because you see, we have power and authority over all devils. And it don't matter what its name is. Don't be impressed with its name. Just know you have authority through the name of Jesus over all devils and to heal disease. And that's all disease. And you know, the enemy wants to intimidate us with the names of different diseases. But I'm telling you, Jesus gave us power and authority overall. Well, Sister Sandy, I know somebody's got that. They've been standing for years. Well, keep on standing. That's what you do. You just keep on standing. You keep on believing. You keep on pumping your spirit full of the Word of God. You keep on praying. You keep on not praying, begging God to do something that's already done. You just keep on standing. And you just, because, oh, I hear my Bible preaching to me. Stand, therefore. When you've done all, stand, therefore. Stand right there for as long as it takes. Stand right there. You say, well, but I know somebody, they believed and they died. Well, you know what? They won. They're in heaven. If they were believing God and they were standing and they were trusting God, they must have been a Christian. And if they died, hey, that's where we're all going. That's where we all want to go. And so Jesus was teaching them of what was to come. And this is how you conduct yourself. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 11, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Glory be to God. Woo, I love the Lord. I love His Word. I love His Word. Mark chapter 11, verses 22, 23, and 24. But Jesus said, have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, look here, in his heart, not in his head. Honey, your head will whack out on you. Your head will cut up. Your head, that's where the enemy comes to sow those seeds of doubt up here. But listen, you got to pay attention to your spirit. You've got to learn how to live from your spirit. I'm telling you, those doctors told me everything. You can't imagine what all was told to me. Oh, maybe 2 more hours. He'll be here maybe 2 more hours. Maybe 4 more hours. I mean, well, Sister Sandy, or they didn't call me Sister Sandy, but they say, Mrs. Burris, he's just about to cross over. And you know what? When he did cross over, they didn't even know it. When he did go to heaven, they didn't know it. That was the first time. And then they were trying to keep him out of heaven the second time, but he went ahead and crossed on over. And then that's when I called him back from heaven. Doing all they could do, they couldn't bring him back. But you know what? All it took was faith in God. And I jumped a straddle of him, and I command you in the name of Jesus, you come back to me. You come back now in Jesus' name. And you know what? That's not normally the way you talk when you calling somebody back. I told him, I said, you come back this way to me. And he, because they was there trying to revive him, so there was witnesses to it, see. That's what I love about God. There was witnesses. And he said, I was walking around and I was trying to see the face of Jesus. I just wanted to get over there so I could hear what Jesus was saying. And I wanted to see his full face. All he was seeing was the side of him. And he said, and I heard, he told the nurse, he said, I heard my wife saying, come back this way to me. Come back this way to me. I'm telling you, what we speak in earth is heard in heaven, Pastor Jerry. What we speak in earth is heard in heaven. And we better never forget that. We better never forget it, Pastor Brett. We better never forget it. Glory be to God. And so Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, I'm telling you, that day death was a mountain to me. Be thou removed. Get out of my life, death. Get off of my body, because that man's body is my body. Be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, not prayeth, saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith, not prayeth, saith. It's a form of prayer, but most people think of prayer as begging, you know, or whatever. Whatsoever he saith, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And you shall have them. Whatsoever things. See, that's what I'm talking about being led of the Spirit. Listen, I didn't go up there trying to impress anybody. I didn't go into that hospital. I went with the Word of God, Pastor Elaine. I'm telling you, within my own self, I was as weak as toe. I was just reeling because, I mean, I grew up with this man. Hey, he fell in love with me when I was 13 years old, and he has loved me ever since. I'm telling you, he's taken care of me. You are looking at a kept woman. I'm telling you, I am a kept woman, and I was as devastated as anybody would have been within my own strength. But you see, I wasn't moving out of my own strength. Right up here, this is our own strength. But when I dropped that car in drive, because they were taking him by helicopter, and they told me, run on ahead, you know, because he'll beat you there anyway. But something happened, and they almost lost him again or whatever. They had to do some heroics. But I'd already covered him, and I knew he, you will live. But I did everything that I knew to do. I was slinging blood, honey. I was slinging blood all over that hospital. I was slinging blood all over that hospital bed. I was slinging blood in that room. I was slinging blood on the doctors. I was slinging blood on the nurses. I was doing everything that God has taught me to do throughout the years by spending time in his word, spending time with him, spending time praying in the Holy Ghost, spending time praising him that I had the victory, and I had it now. Glory be to God. I dropped that car in drive, Pastor Jerry. My daughter, my oldest daughter Kimberly, was with me. She rode with me. And, I mean, she was just all to pieces. And I said, now, Kimberly, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to ride with me, you're going to straighten up. I said, because, sissy, now, I love you, and I know you love your daddy, and I know you're devastated, but you are a hindrance unto me right now. She looked at me. I said, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I'm telling you, you are a hindrance unto me acting this way. So she knew she wasn't in any condition to drive, so she bumped it up a notch, cleaned her face up. And I said, stop that. Stop it. Because it was like she would believe it. I mean, she wasn't, but, you know, she had heard all that negative stuff, you know. Oh, daddy's about to die. Daddy's not. You stop. You are a hindrance unto me. Stop. Oh, yeah, people think they want to hang out with me. You might all think again over that one. And so I dropped that car and drive. I dropped that car and drive, and God spoke to me. And you know what he said? This is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be revealed. Woo, I had the devil by the tail then. Because I had a word from God, Pastor Elaine, and nobody had to tell me it was God. I mean, nobody had to confirm it to me, but I no sooner I hadn't gone a block, and my phone rang, and I told Kimberly, answer that phone, and I don't want to talk to anybody. Don't you speak a thing about what we just heard. You just tell them, if, you know, whatever. But I'm going to answer that phone because that is vexing me. I cannot take it. I cannot be hindered by that phone and then turn it off. But it was my Michelle, our spiritual daughter, Michelle Kinley. She was here at the first service. And so Kimberly said, Mother, it's Michelle. Well, I knew that'd be okay. So I said, yeah, I'll put her on speaker. She said, Sandy, she said, I was praying. She said, I was coming home from work. And she said, I pulled over and I was crying. I was crying. And she said, God spoke to me. And he said, stop that. This is not unto death, but that the glory of God may be revealed. And I'm telling you, oh, my word. And he didn't have to confirm it to me. But you know what? He knew how far I was going to have to walk. He knew what darkness I was going to have to walk through, what chaos I was going to have to deal with. And so he was so good to me that he confirmed it anyhow. And so I went up there, and of course I beat him up there, and all the children were asking my mother, why do you think Daddy's not here? They said, Daddy beat us up here. I said, it don't make a hill of beans why he's not here. It don't matter why he's not here. Mother, do you think something's happened? I said, I'm telling you, y'all are either going to straighten up or I'm going to another room, because you cannot hinder me. We can win this or we can lose it. And you know what? That's the way it is. We can win it or we can lose it. And so here they came. These two little old gals that had flown him over there, they told me, they said, now he won't know you or anything by the time we get there. And I thought, I don't care if he knows me or not. That's not what I'm paying attention to. But, you know, just to show you how good God is, oh, I'm telling you, it looked like the worst thing that had ever happened to me. But new beginnings, new beginnings, new beginnings all through it. They brought him on that gurney, you know, and he set up. And now I started, they were running him. I mean, they were running. And I still had on the same clothes I'd flown in. Oh, and I had a pair of 4-inch heels on, a pink suit, pink shoes. I mean, I was looking good. I mean, even after wearing that for 3 days, and I started running after him, and he said, hey, who's gonna pick me up? I said, I'm gonna pick you up, Dad. We're gonna walk out of this hospital together. Are we in agreement? He said, we're in agreement. We're gonna walk out of this hospital together. And from then on, for days and days and weeks, nothing except bad and evil reports. But I had a word from God. And look here, I lived off of that word, that rhema word. And that's what I always want to make clear. You have to live out of your spirit, and you have to have a word from God to move on. You can't just because I did it don't mean you can go out and do it. You got to get your own words, what I'm telling you. You've got to hear from God for your own self. Because you know what? Every day, I went and I sat at the foot of that cross, and I said, God, I got to have a strategy today. I have to have a strategy today. And every day God spoke the same word to me. I sent my word and healed him and delivered him of all his destructions. And that's what I stood on. That's what I held on to. You see, and that's what I spoke. I didn't speak anything else. I didn't beg God to heal him. I knew he was already healed. I didn't beg God to deliver him. I knew he was already delivered. You know what? But what I asked for was a new strategy. God, give me a new strategy until the fullness of this thing comes to pass, and we walk out of this place together. Now, Everything I heard was contrary to that. Everything that I heard, everything that I heard was contrary to that. As a matter of fact, I was told he will go out of here in a body bag. Miss Burch, you just need to accept this. I said, well, I appreciate that. Thank you, you know, for trying to prepare me. But, you know, that's not what I believe. And I told those doctors, and I was very kind to them. I said, now listen, let me tell you something. They wanted him. God just gave us such favor, you know. And they just fell in love with me and him both. And I'd tell them about him and about how sweet he is and all that. They just fell in love with us. God gave us just super, because see, the Word of God says we are surrounded with favor as a shield. And so I knew I had that favor. And so I'd be back there in that death room and they'd call me. And the doctors wanted to tell me something else and it was always horrible. It was always bad. They'd be so discouraged and I would just gather them together and I'd pray. I would pray for them and I would pray for God to give them wisdom that they hadn't learned anywhere. I would pray for God to connect them with people that had more knowledge than they had, and I would encourage them, and I would tell them, now listen, you know things I don't know. You do what you know, but I know some things to do that you don't know. And I said, so you do what you know to do, and I'm going to do what I know to do, and you know what? God is going to get the glory. That's all I ever said. And see, even right in here today, see, we glorified God. We glorified God just because of that he is here. And so Jesus was preparing them for Calvary and beyond as he was ministering and teaching them, because Jesus knew there is another new beginning coming. And in the midst of all of this, I mean, things are chaotic in the civil discourse. Things are, I mean, it's a mess. And in the religious system, you know, it's just crumbling. And you know, Jesus comes in preaching, you know, if you just love and they had all these rules and regulations, and Jesus just comes in there just teaching them the principles of the kingdom. And I mean, everything is in a mess because you know what? It doesn't make sense up here. But God knows what's coming. And God knows what's coming for you. See, I never dreamed I'd face that day. I'm telling you, it never entered my mind. It absolutely, Pastor, never entered my mind. It never entered my mind I'd ever face a day like that. We just always been so healthy. It just never entered my mind. Never had thought of it. Thought it never entered my mind. But you know, I'm so thankful for the principles and the precepts that I learned through the years pertaining to my God. Now, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, right there at the very end of that scripture, Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, I've always thought about that like this. They had seen all the miracles. They had seen the works of Jesus. They had walked with him. They had been in part of the ministry with him. Just like those of you who have walked with Pastor Elaine and Pastor Jerry all these years. You've watched their lives. You've watched their ministry. That's the way it was with these disciples. They had watched Jesus. They had watched how he walked through hard times, how he walked through good times. They had watched him heal the sick. They had watched him raise the dead. They had watched him provide naturally for them, because remember when the guy couldn't pay his taxes, you know, and the fish and all that? I mean, they had watched Jesus. They had heard his teachings. They had heard his ministry. They knew him. But what they didn't ask, Lord, teach us to heal the sick. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to do this. They said, teach us to pray. And I believe it was because they had watched Jesus draw aside, go to the mountains or go to a desolate place and pray. And they had somehow seen that it was out of his fellowshipping with the Father. It was out of his prayer life that all of these other things were manifest. And I'm going to tell you, in this new beginning, that's where all of it will come from, is out of your prayer life. The other morning, I had a late flight in, and I just have my phone. It just goes off every morning at 4. And usually I wake up before then and I go ahead and get up to pray. But it went off and I'd come in late and I was tired. And I said this in my mind. I said, I don't have a busy day today. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to turn this alarm off. In my mind, this thought came through my mind. And I said, I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go back to sleep and sleep till about 6 because I don't have a heavy day today. And the Lord spoke to me on that day. Now, it's not that I've not ever done that before. I have. But on that day, the Lord spoke to me and he said, nothing will change until somebody prays. And I mean, I got up and I had such a time with God that morning. It was like supernatural energy came into my body. I mean, it was like, and it was such a, and not that I didn't know that, but he said, nothing will change until somebody prays. And I thought, well, how simple, but how profound. Nothing will change until somebody prays. Somebody has to come before God, release faith, and then draw it out of heaven for things to change. And you know, if you need a new beginning, you're saying, I need a change. I need a change. But I believe that the Lord is teaching us that we need to learn how to pray on this side of Calvary. Because when God began to speak to my heart, I saw how very much on the other side of Calvary we pray. Yes, think about it. Join me in John chapter 14. Glory be to God. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. They didn't get it. See, there again, he's telling them, you're about to have a new beginning. Something's about to change. They didn't get it. And he said, and whatsoever you shall ask, and that word ask means to demand. And whatsoever you shall demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask, that's the same word, means demand, anything in my name, I will do it. Let's see. In my name, I will do it. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. He just dropped that little nugget right in there, you know, to keep us lined up. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, with a capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now Jesus told them plainly, he said, now the works that you've seen me do, these works and greater works, and we know that one of the greater is salvation. But salvation, look at what all that word salvation encompasses. And he said, greater works shall you do, because I go to my Father. Because see, the disciples had been walking with Jesus. And when Jesus was with Brother Peter, he might not could be with Brother John over here, you know, because he was in this form, this human form. At that time, he could only be one place at a time. But he said, now listen, I'm going to pray, and the Father's going to send you another comforter, And that word another means one of the same kind in another form. And then we move on down and he said, I will not. Let's see. We want to look at it. Let's see. Look here. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. I will not leave you comfortless. Look here. He said, I will come to you. So he said, I'm going to pray. And he said, I'm going to come, but it's going to be in another form. He said, see, you've known me now in this form where I just walked with you. He said, but the Father, he said, see, he told him, he said, see, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, it's for your own good, but he knew they didn't get that. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not do it. I will not do it. He said, I'm going to come to you in another form. I won't be with you, but I shall be in you. And that right there is the devil's greatest nightmare. Because you see, when he was in one form, when he was in the human form in the earth, he was God, yet in the human form. Look here, he was one place at one time. But now, honey, he's here, he's there, he's there, he's there. He's there because he's not with us. He is in us. And you see that authority, that power and authority that he had given us is now shown through us by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost. Glory be to God. And so there was a new beginning. Jesus was always pointing. And then, you know, here came Calvary. Oh, my goodness. Oh, everything was, it was a mess. It was a mess. And oh, think about what those people who had been his followers, think about what it was to them. It was just chaos and confusion, just like it was in the beginning. See, they needed another new beginning. I'm telling you, children, we need a new beginning, and we need another new beginning, and we need another new beginning. So now they needed to be grounded again in something. Because can you imagine what went on in their minds? Can you just imagine the warfare in their minds? Because they put, you know, like Pastor Elaine was telling us about Dr. Martin Luther King. He believed what he believed he was willing to die for. What he believed he was willing to die for. Well, see, those disciples, they thought they were willing to die. And you know, in the end, they were. But you know, they were still things were new. Things were new, but now they're needing another beginning because here it comes. Now Jesus is going to Calvary. He's going to Calvary, and then they see him up on that cross after, oh, that beating and all that had transpired, all that blood and gore. Oh, we can't imagine what it was to see our Lord, to be there and see what they saw. Jesus hanging on that cross. He dropped his precious head and he said, it is finished. It is finished. And you know, can't you just imagine that all of his followers felt like they were finished? I hadn't developed this message yet, but in prayer several months ago, I just hadn't had time to develop it. The Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to teach my people. I said, it is finished, not I am finished. I'm going to develop a message out of that. Oh, and it'll preach good. I can already feel it. Yeah, the Lord told me. He said, tell my people. I said, it is finished, not I am finished. And you know, he's not finished. And so here we see him teaching us about the mighty. Now, see, he's pointing toward another new beginning. And it's going to be the beginning of the church and the powerful church in the earth. And that new beginning, that blood bought, blood washed, spirit filled, Holy Ghost drenched church. That's what he's pointing to, because he know now they're going to have another new beginning. And so then we go over into the book of Acts, and we see, let's go to chapter 16. We see Brother Paul and Silas. Now look here, they've been out in the field. They're at work in the works of the ministry. They're not doing anything wrong. They're not in sin. They're not playing around. They are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And here comes this little gal, this little damsel, and she starts running behind them. And she starts prophesying or declaring or whatever. These are men of the ministers of the Most High God. See, that was right. What she said was exactly right. You know, the saddest thing, most of the church was thought she was moving in the Holy Ghost. I was at a state meeting somewhere. I won't say where, because then you would know the denomination. I was doing one of their meetings, one of their night meetings in their state meeting. And this little gal came up. She started bucking and pitching and, you know, and, oh, I tell you, people started shouting and dancing. They thought it was the Holy Ghost had come on her. And it was a demon. Pastor Elaine, it was a demon jerking her around and mimicking and mocking. I watched that for just a minute. I had about all I could stomach of it. I thought, oh, Lord, here I go. A bunch of them were pastors' wives. And I knew that. And I thought, whew, you know. And I went down there and I said, let me through here. I cast that demon out of her and she fell limp just like that. They were shocked. I said, that was a demon. That was not the Holy Ghost. They were shocked. Shocked. Absolutely shocked. And that's, it reminded me of this passage of scripture. And so Brother Paul insults him. You know, Brother Paul knew this is. So he let it go on for a little bit, you know, a few days. 3 days, I think it was, or whatever. She just kept on. She wouldn't stop. You know, that's something we need to learn. The devil's not going to stop. I'm telling you, these spirits are troubling you, troubling your family, troubling your children, troubling, you know, whatever. I'm telling you, they are not going to stop. We have to stop them. They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. One of their assignments is to wear us out and wear us down. But you know what? I found out you wear the devil down. You don't even have to wear him down. Cast him out. And so here they were. And you know, so Brother Paul turned around. He cast that spirit out of this young girl. And oh my goodness, he got in a world of hurt right there. They took him. They beat him. They beat Brother Silas. I mean, they beat them. And the Bible says they cast them in the inner prison. They cast them in the deepest, darkest, dampest, roach, probably, oh, whatever, vermin-infested part of the prison. For doing what was right. For setting someone free. And the Bible says that they were put in stocks, you know. I'm telling you, the devil always overdoes it. He always, if you'll notice, he just always overindulgent. He always, see, that's what the enemy wants us to be, overindulgent. But, you know, that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the discipline of the Lord. And so overindulgent. So it locked them in all these stocks and these chains. And there they were. There they were, beaten, bloody, and bound in that horrible, horrible place. And the Bible says that they begin to pray. They begin to pray and sing praises. And I've always felt like there was such a treasure for us in that one phrase. That they prayed and then sang praises. They prayed and then they sang praises. And I've always believed that is because, you know, you can find yourself, you can find you in a condition to where until you pray something through, there's just no praise to be released. Now, I know there are times that we praised before, but I believe you have to pray. Sometimes you have to pray to get through. You have to pray to get yourself through. And then this morning, I saw something this morning when in the first service when I was ministering this that I'd never seen before. That them being beaten, bound, beaten, I mean bloody, beaten, the the way they had been beaten, bound, and beaten, bloody, and bound, they somehow, I believe, looked back toward Calvary. In other words, what I heard the Lord saying through my mouth this morning in the first service is they allowed their condition not to defeat them, but to cause them to return and rethink the completed work of Calvary. And it energized them, and it built them, and it pressed them toward what they needed to do. And the Bible says they prayed. And I said, God, here's what I want to know. What are you going to pray? Are they going to pray, Lord, make our death easy? I mean, really, what are they going to pray? What are they going to pray? Are they going to pray, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you, just get it over quick? What are they going to pray? Are they going to pray, God, make a way of escape? What are they going to pray? And then I heard my Bible preaching to me. Oh, Brother Paul, he said, when I don't know how to pray as I ought, he said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than every one of you. I thank my God because I am praying on this side of Calvary. I'm praying on this side of Calvary. And God has made a way that I can pray a perfect prayer. I can pray according to the will of God. And if I pray according to the will of God, Brother John said, I know that I have the petition that I have asked of him. We've already won this thing. We're already delivered. We are already delivered. And just because in the natural, we are in a bound condition, we're going to look at this from Calvary's perspective, and we're going to see how free we are. I know when he gets up there, I need to quit. Okay, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? I'll stop right there. Here's what I want us to begin to do. As we look to our new beginning and we realize our condition, whatever it is, our condition is our need for a new beginning. You know, it might be for some a family. It might be for some a business or a job. For some, it might be a ministry or it might be the church. I don't know. It may be the government. But whatever your condition is, that has caused you to realize, I need a new beginning. And you may have been so hurt. You may have been so sick. You may have been so defeated in sin that you say, Sister Sandy, I just feel that the lifeblood has drained out of me. Sister Sandy, I don't know what to do. I am so bound in whatever that condition is. I'm so bound. It just doesn't seem like I can get free. I am so bound in this condition. Oh, I just feel like this thing has beat me. Have you ever heard people say that? Sister Sandy, I'm just beat. I'll tell you what God spoke to me when a pastor actually said this to me. He said, I'm telling you, we just have to face the facts. He said, some things just beat us. And immediately God spoke to me. He said, I was beaten so this thing couldn't beat you. And don't think I didn't whoop up on the devil with that one. Because I did. And it didn't beat us. It did not beat us because we had a word from God. But you know, if you feel that that is you, and you say that, I want you to allow your condition, the condition that you're in right now, no matter how bad or whatever it is, no matter how traumatizing, no matter how fear-invoking it is, no matter what it is, I want you to allow that to turn you back and look back. It's the only time I ever want you to look back is to look back at Calvary's completed work. I want you to look at the completed work of Calvary. And I want you to begin to feed in your spirit again. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. It is finished. I mean, anything and everything that would ever, ever attack humankind again was accomplished. The victory for it was accomplished at Calvary. Now that's the gospel. The gospel. And we either are Christian or we're something else. We either are or we're not, really. But I think, I know God has shown me how very, very important it is that we learn how to pray on this side of Calvary. That we take those gospels and we take the book of Acts. Do you remember when Brother John, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray? Remember that guy that was laid out there every day begging alms? Y'all remember that? That's the way the devil wants us all to be, begging for something, begging, begging, begging. And you know, he was begging and, you know, whatever he did. The Bible says that Brother Peter said, listen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. I have power and I have authority over this thing that is hindering you, that is stealing from your life. And the Bible says that that man got up and he went walking, and he walked a minute, and then he began to leap. And praise God. Why? Because somebody that realized how to pray or what to do, how to conduct themselves on this side of Calvary. On this side of Calvary. We have to get our strategy. Well, did we not ever ask God for anything? No, 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 no. Now, don't get wacky on me. I'm talking about this. Yes, there's petition. There's prayers of petition. But it's not for what God's already done for us. Mm-mm. See, that's not right. That's not right. Because it is finished. It is finished. Listen, you don't ever have to wonder. You don't ever have to wonder about healing. You never have to wonder. Because remember, he said, I send my word, Jesus, and heal them and deliver them of all their destructions. He sent Jesus to Calvary, and right there we were healed. And we weren't only healed, we were delivered. And that's why if you've got a child that needs to be delivered, you got to know she or he is already delivered. They already are delivered. It's just got to manifest. They've got it. God has to work around and work it all together as we speak the word, as we pray in the Holy Ghost. And he will get it around and twist circumstances around until they're in the position where they will receive it. It's the same way with us at salvation. Now, listen, children, Jesus, when you decided that you wanted Jesus, he had already decided you were his. And when you decided you wanted Jesus, look here, he didn't have to go back to Calvary to redeem you from those sins. You were already redeemed, but you had to receive it. Why is it we believe we're saved, but we cannot get it that we're healed and delivered to?
Yes, yes.
Stand to your feet. You see, can't you see why the enemy don't want us to lift up the name of Jesus? Can't you see why he wants us to dissolve into some weak something when we are the most powerful entity in the earth, the church? The church? The church. And when we do what we're supposed to do, everything else will work out just according to God's will. Lift your hands. Worship Jesus.